Food, drink, sailcloth, rope. My daughter is fetching to your boat at this moment a brace of fresh roasted hens. I think it prudent, however, that you continue on your way from here as soon as it meets your convenience to do so. The people are in some dismay, for not long ago, the day before yesterday, a person was seen crossing our humble isle afoot from north to south, and no boat was seen to come with him aboard it, nor no boat was seen to leave with him aboard it, and it did not seem that he cast any shadow. Those who saw this person tell me that he bore some likeness to yourself. At that, Ged bowed his own head and turned and went back to the docks of Vemish and sailed out, not looking back. There was no profit in frightening the islanders or making an enemy of their sorcerer. He would rather sleep at sea again and think over this news the sorcerer had told him, for he was sorely puzzled by it. The day ended and the night passed with cold rain whispering over the sea all through the dark hours and a gray dawn. Still the mild north wind carried look far on. After noon the rain and mist blew off and the sun shone from time to time, and late in the day Ged saw right athwart his course the low blue hills of a great island, brightened by that drifting winter sunlight. The smoke of hearth fires lingered blue over the slate roofs of little towns among those hills, a pleasant sight in the vast sameness of the sea. Ged followed a fishing fleet into their port, and going up the streets of the town in the golden winter evening, he found an inn called the Hareki, where firelight and ale and roast ribs of mutton warmed him body and soul. At the tables of the inn there were a couple of other voyagers, traders of the East Reach, but most of the men were townsfolk, come there for good ale, news, and conversation. They were not rough, timid people like the fisher folk of the Hands, but true townsmen, alert and sedate. Surely they knew Ged for a wizard, but nothing at all was said of it, except that the innkeeper, in talking, and he was a talkative man, mentioned that this town, Ismay, was fortunate in sharing with other towns of the island the inestimable treasure of an accomplished wizard trained at the school on Roke, who had been given his staff by the Archmage himself, and who, though out of town at the moment, dwelt in his ancestral home right in Ismay itself, which, therefore, stood in no need of any other practitioner of the high arts. As they say, two staffs in one town must come to blows, isn't it so, sir? Said the innkeeper, smiling and full of cheer. So Ged was informed that his journeyman wizard, one seeking a livelihood from sorcery, he was not wanted here. Thus he had got a blunt dismissal from Vemish and a bland one from Ismay, and he wondered at what he had been told about the kindly ways of the East Reach. This isle was Ifish, where his friend Vetch had been born. It did not seem so hospitable a place as Vetch had said. And yet he saw that they were, indeed, kindly faces enough. It was only that they sensed what he knew to be true, that he was set apart from them, cut off from them, that he bore a doom upon him and followed after a dark thing. He was like a cold wind blowing through the firelit room, like a black bird carried by on a storm from foreign lands. The sooner he went on, taking his evil destiny with him, the better for these folk. "I am on quest," he said to the innkeeper. I will be here only a night or two." His tone was bleak. The innkeeper, with a glance at the great yew staff in the corner, said nothing at all for once, but filled up Ged's cup with brown ale till the foam ran over the top. Ged knew that he should spend only the one night in Ismay. There was no welcome for him there, or anywhere. He must go where he was bound. But he was sick of the cold, empty sea and the silence where no voice spoke to him. He told himself he would spend one day in Ismay and on the morrow go. So he slept late. When he woke, a light snow was falling, and he idled about the lanes and byways of the town to watch the people busy at their doings. He watched children bundled in fur capes playing at Snow Castle and building snowmen. He heard gossips chatting across the street from open doors and watched the bronze smith at work with a little lad red-faced and sweating to pump the long bellows sleeves at the smelting pit.
Through windows lit with a dim ruddy gold from within as the short day darkened, he saw women at their looms, turning a moment to speak or smile to child or husband there in the warmth within the house. Ged saw all these things from outside and apart, alone, and his heart was very heavy in him, though he would not admit to himself that he was sad. As night fell, he still lingered in the streets, reluctant to go back to the inn. He heard a man and a girl talking together merrily as they came down the street past him towards the town square, and all at once he turned, for he knew the man's voice. He followed and caught up with the pair, coming up beside them in the late twilight, lit only by distant lantern gleams. The girl stepped back, but the man stared at him and then flung up the staff he carried, holding it between them as a barrier to ward off the threat or act of evil. And that was somewhat more than Ged could bear. His voice shook a little as he said, "I thought you would know me, Vetch." Even then Vetch hesitated for a moment.
"I do know you," he said, and lowered the staff and took Ged's hand and hugged him round the shoulders.